Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. And I have with me your other hostess, Hanako.
What's up, people?
And your other host, Eric.
How's it going?
Pretty good. I know. Welcome back. We've been on a little bit of hiatus. Kat's been graduating. Now I'm trying to get a job.
Woo-hoo! Hire me, please. Yeah. Congratulations.
And move, because I have to, like, have a job in like 2 weeks. Anyway, we're not talking about that. We were so pumped up by this. Was it the finale?
No.
Game of Thrones, child. Game of Thrones is what we're going to talk about. And this latest episode, I believe it is called Battle of the Bastards. Oh my God. That was not even the season finale.
But they do this, though. They've done this before.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, penultimate episode is always one of the biggest episodes of the season.
Yeah, tends to be.
God, it had me on the edge of my seat. We didn't have to deal with Arya, or whatever her name is, deal with her and her masked men or meeting faces or anything like that. We didn't have to deal with the freaking religion thing with Cersei and the freaking whatever those people are.
No, that's next week.
What we got this week was a battle scene that I have never seen before. You know, I had got battle scene, Middle Earth style battle scene fatigue because of Lord of the Rings. But this thing that we saw was nasty. I mean, it was not even like, what was that show with the sexy naked man with the swords?
What is that?
Sam Raimi with the...
That clue doesn't help either.
No.
Sexy naked men with swords and Sam Raimi.
Spartacus. You know how those would get like really gruesome and the blood would be nothing like this, because we got to see dead bodies being climbed over, and Jon Snow was just plowing through people and trampling over. He got trampled, and it was not that faux heroic type of battle that you've seen before. It was just kind of a visceral realism, but not in a way or anything. I mean, help me out, Eric, if you know.
Well, this is what I was thinking about that, because I do make note of that myself. Usually, it's when watching movies that I try to notice, like, when you see something that you feel like you've never seen before.
Right.
Like Saving Private Ryan, but that's obviously...
Well, I haven't seen that.
That's war, or more modern war.
Oh, gosh. I can't do war films.
So. Well, at least it's not all bad. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not all dour. But, the reason I bring it up is because at the time, it was like, we've never seen war like this with the bullets and everything, yada, yada, yada. And so I do notice when those things happen, and usually it's on film, or on television. The one part that stood out to me as a visual that was quite different, first of all, a lot of it, and I think rightly so, the look of the fight and the setup, it was very similar to Braveheart. And that in of itself kind of was a milestone in movies, because it was a very realistic, well, quasi-realistic, historical, almost medieval type battle situation. And that kind of set the bar for that type of fighting. And this was very similar to that, but they kind of upped it a notch.
Yeah.
And the part that really upped it, which was a really great visual, and the one that took me the most, was Well, first you had the visual of Jon Snow just holding his sword in front of the charging cavalry, and that by itself was already a great image. But then after both cavalries collided, and when he was just in the middle of the chaos and the horses going everywhere.
They were now, slapping up against each other.
That was a cool scene. That was an image that I don't remember seeing that anywhere before.
No.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I remember reading that cinematography, that whole scene and that aspect, I think they've submitted that for Emmy consideration.
As well they should.
Yeah. It was... It was an amazing episode to watch. I mean, not just from the storyline and the satisfying, just everything, but just visually, it was great.
I don't know. I like it a lot, but I wonder, because I still don't know, because the previous milestone just within Game of Thrones for me was what, the end of season 4? When they had the big, big battle at the wall, and that's the one that they showed the following year at IMAX, and I saw it in that format, and it was brilliant, by the way.
Okay.
And I am still not 100. I'm not sure in my mind if I'm gonna place this one above that one yet. I don't know, maybe, but I haven't made up my mind yet on all
but
this.
I don't know. I feel like
one's fresher. Hard Home
to me was it was really good, but it still was kind of Lord of the Ring. This thing was kind of battlefield, like you're right on the battlefield.
Yes.
You're climbing over and you said you've seen it before in Saving Private Ryan or other military films, but I just haven't. I think it's something they were doing with the sound, the Foley or whatever. They were just adding in these sounds that really was just kind of gut wrenching and made it kind of extra real and extra gross. I think the other fight at Hard Home was just badass because we got to see what the White Walkers were doing. But this one to me felt like it was the most.
Oh, I'm not talking about the Hard Home one. I'm talking about. At the wall.
No, you're talking about the battle at the wall. The battle.
It was at night. The one where they're trying to take Castle Black.
Where Mance Rayder was attacking.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about. Not Hard Home. Yeah, I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
It was at nighttime.
He's talking about two seasons ago when Mance Rayder
had the fire and Tyrion got his face slashed.
No.
That's way longer.
He's talking about the battle where Mance Rayder and the Wildlings attacked Castle Black. And all of John's friends died.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh gosh, that's the one I'm talking about. Because, and let me tell you what I liked about that one.
Okay,
if you don't remember that one, you need to go back and watch it seriously.
Because one of the big surprises.
If I watch it, I'll remember. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one of the big surprises in that episode. I know it's weird. Spoiler if you haven't seen it. Why are you listening to this? Is when the Wildlings are climbing up the wall and then. John like lets that I don't even know what it is the big
the
ball
hammer,
and chain
go, the,
yeah
the hammer
yes he lets that thing go off the top of the wall. That was really cool and unexpected. And then later after that, don't you remember, Kat? That's when Ollie killed Ygritte or whatever her name was. But I also liked after that, once they got into Castle Black, when John started just going crazy down there on the ground level, just going around killing everybody, I just love that part. The wall at Castle Black.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. I remember it, but it was okay. You know, it was just fighting. It wasn't like this one, man. Something about this one was really, I think it was the horses, the addition of the horses, the really... I was watching it on an iPad.
Terrible.
Well, that's the only way I can watch it live, and then I go back and I watch it on my actual TV.
I cannot even imagine.
And so just imagine if I was that drawn in watching it with, and then the sounds were getting to me off of looking at a tiny iPad. That had to be really damn good for them to have pulled that off. It was really good.
Yeah, they the sound editing, I believe, is also being submitted for Emmy consideration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think Now, the only thing that I have, this is a quasi issue. This is not really a complaint, but it's something that I've noticed that this particular season of Game of Thrones, it's a lot of thrilling heroics going on. Like, there's a lot of happy endings that's going on.
That's really, okay.
I'm okay with it. I'm not against it, but it's just like everybody is like pulling out their hero cocks, and I'm just like, Rickon died, but we weren't really attached to him anyway.
That's what I'm saying. I know, because Hanako was going off about that before
because
how can I care when
Starks to at least have somebody
though. They already have three powerful living descendants right now.
Like, but here's the thing. Sansa and Jon don't know that Bran is alive.
So no, I understand but they know they're alive.
Or Arya.
Happiness. Well, yeah, that too.
Arya?
Yeah, Arya. Yeah. So I just wanted them to have a little bit of...
Did Rickon even have a line in the entire season? No, right? Has he had a line in 4 years?
Like, really, ever?
Yeah, because he would just grunt and whatnot, even when he was a kid.
No, he had some lines, but you know, we haven't seen him since season 4. And season 4, I think, was probably he had the most, because that was when Bran sent him away with Osha, and they had that whole discussion. He didn't want to leave him, and this, that, and the other. So,
and yeah, then he stopped talking, and then I don't care.
So, I mean, we haven't seen him. And then we've only seen him in 2 episodes this season. So it was the episode where we saw him again. And then this episode, which, you know, I would imagine he's too scared to talk. So, but anyway.
I think he should have ran a little bit more serpentine, you know. Felt he was going to die because, like, he's never been a developed character.
Right.
Just like a brother who happens to be a brother who, what now, whatever, kill him. I don't care. I mean, it's not that I don't care, but I don't care.
Right. Okay. Going back to, as far as this particular episode, for Emmy consideration, they were submitted for writing, for directing, for editing, for visual effects, and for sound mixing.
The sound mixing better get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was potent on the iPad.
Yeah.
So I know we didn't.
Oh, and hairstyling, makeup.
So I think Daenerys rocked out with her cock out, which was crazy because she's just hopping on the dragon and setting shit on fire. Now she's just like, that's her go-to move, and I'm not angry about it at all.
No, I'm not, and I ship Daenerys and Yara. I think my whole timeline was like, what? This is so excessive.
Wait, you ship her and who?
The Ironborn Queen.
No. Oh, that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, tell me you got that undercurrent.
That was so nice.
That's overcurrent.
Yeah, that was an overcurrent. That was not subtle at all.
My whole timeline went crazy.
It was just like, I have never seen so much. I mean, I have seen so much flirting in Game of Thrones, but that was just, it was almost sweet, you know? Like, it wasn't dirty or anything. And it was just like, wow, we have two powerful females here in the same room, you know, giving each other props.
Right.
Recognizing each other's power. And we didn't know that. It felt like it was really rushed for them to get to see each other, but screw it, they got there, they met each other, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. I can see that Euron Greyjoy is going to have a fight on his hands.
Yeah, I don't. He's gonna be the next.
Yeah, he's gonna be the next big bad. I mean, like, yeah. Once you got rid of Joffrey, you had to have
Bolton,
and then yeah, there always has to be somebody to get in the way of our heroes actually dealing with the real problem, aka the White Walkers.
I didn't see Ramsay and how bad he was going to get coming. I just knew that I just thought he was going to be there just to torture Reek, and then he was just kind of fade, like all of the other characters just seemed to kind of just...
Oh, no.
But no, he came front, full, and center, and he did all of these horrible things, and he fought seriously that was going to be a good ending. It looked crazy for him for a while. You know, it looked like they were going to, that thing where they encircled Snow's men and the wildlings with the armor or whatever, and they were just like circling them and then making the circle smaller and smaller. That was a great visual. I don't think I've seen anything like that since I watched, it was a TV series, Shaka Zulu. I think they had something like that, and I haven't seen it done quite that well since then. And it was just another great visual.
There was, I mean, it's stylized, but there's some things like that in the movie 300. I want to say.
Those are
some cool visuals too, by the way. But again, I know it's stylized, so it's almost it's borderline fantasy because of the way it appears.
Yeah,
in the
it's
movie.
Still good. You can't knock it though.
I mean, all the fighting in general in that movie.
Yeah, but
Well, I want to. We'll see. Okay. I don't know. I really like it, but I'm not as hype about the whole episode as I think you guys are. I'm not saying it's not a strong episode, and I'm not saying it's not one of the best of the year, because it is.
Why though, Eric?
Okay, well, the first thing... Okay, first of all, I really did enjoy just the beginning with Daenerys and doing all that, but at the same time, it's kind of like maybe I do have difficulty enjoying things that are too simple or too straightforward, because the whole Daenerys storyline this year and culminating with this, that all just seemed completely obvious to me. I mean, I didn't know exactly how it was going to play out, but this is, it's all exactly what I suspected. Like, starting off from where she was set at the beginning of the season, you know, off on a mountainside or whatever, and with nothing.
Circled,
I mean,
by the Dothraki.
I didn't know. Yes, and I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew she was going to take over the Dothraki somehow, and I knew it wasn't going to take her very long. And then once, you know, Tyrion was left back in Meereen and dealing with the slavers and all that, once you realize the slavers were attacking, well, then it just seemed obvious that, of course, Daenerys is going to swoop in with her Dothraki and her dragons, and that's just going to be that. And that's exactly what happened. It looked really cool, and they played some cool theme music, and I liked the visuals. But there was no surprises. You never really had a doubt.
That's okay. Sure. I'm all for
it. No, and that's fine. No, and I know people like that. That's the thing, though. A lot of the things in this episode, this is one part of it. This is part of why I'm not really into fanfic. Not that there's anything wrong with fanfic or shipping, and everyone who's into that is cool. But the reason I'm not into it is because usually fanfic is just like, you know, this is happening in our story, you know, that we write because we just want it to happen, you know, like very straightforward. Whatever your desire is as the audience, I mean, it's just very straightforward.
Because I feel like they're doing more of that this season, whereas the other seasons, they didn't give a damn. They would just kill off people or just maim people or make people have the worst luck ever. But this
one. Well, here's the thing we have to remember. The previous seasons before, they were pretty much going by what had been, you know, they were pretty much going by the canon for a large part of it, and it's like now there is no canon for them to follow.
And
so
I can feel it.
They can do things a little bit different.
There is no canon, but there's still,
it feels Hollywood right now.
But no, but they're still following the outline, though. I mean, things are going to be different when the last books are released. It's not going to be the same exact, but I believe they're still following the broad strokes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Things are more or less kind of going to be similar. I mean, for one thing, like, there's going to be a big Hodor reveal in the books, from what I understand. It's just, it's not going to be exactly the same as what we saw in the show. But, you know, it was still the same intent. I mean, by, you know, The idea was always to have a Hodor reveal. It's just they're doing it this way on the show, this way in the books, whatever. But that's just the beginning, though, where I feel like it's as if a fan just wrote that. Like, how would you like this to be? oh, well, Daenerys is going to come, and then this and that, and then Grey Worm is going to cut two guys' heads off, and woo, and I mean, that's fine.
And but that
that's,
was awesome.
Yeah, but it's for me personally, it's a bit straightforward. And then later, though, I understand why they did it, but with the Brawl of the Bastards or whatever, of course, for the sake of how they're trying to present it, Jon Snow has to go into this battle like a derpy male and just like go in. And even though Sansa says, you know, our brother is going to be, he's dead anyway. Like there's no even, he's,
that was crazy.
And
if,
so she's the rational one. And then Jon Snow has to be like the weird impulsive one in the battle because, you know, they should have just lost on. I mean, if Jon Snow was going to do what he did and the way, and there's no reason they should have won. But of course, the whole reason they did that was to set up Daenerys and Peter, whatever, like to him to swoop in and save the day. Now, see, I understand that's all by design to create this big rescue at the end, blah blah. And I get that. I guess I get how you manufacture like a fist pump moment when Sansa and her amazing thinking like saves the day. But in reality, I like when characters are real, whether they're good real or bad real or evil. If it's beyond incredulity. I can't even say that word.
I know what you mean though.
Yeah, but it's beyond that. The night before, when they were talking about their battle plans, you don't think Sansa would have brought that up when everybody was still
that,
there at the table?
That was one of the things my best friend and I just talked about, because I told her, I said, you know, I was kind of, during that war council and afterwards when Jon and Sansa were kind of going at it with each other, it's like Sansa had all of the information, whereas Jon didn't. So it's like, even though, yes, in some ways it seems like Jon was being impulsive and he was, you know, he wasn't listening to what Sansa said, Jon didn't know Sansa had access to a whole other army, you know? And I feel like if he had known that, if she had been forthcoming with that information, then things would have been a little bit different with that battle. He could have planned a different strategy. Things could have been done.
Did he
a
really?
Little
did
bit
she back. Really know that she had it, or was it a really last minute thing?
No,
mm-hmm.
She knew. She knew from the time that she met with Littlefinger. All she had to do was say the word, and the Knights of the Vale would have been hers.
Yeah.
But because she was standing on her pride, because she felt like Littlefinger gave her to Ramsay, knowing what he knew, or just. For her being upset that she was put into that situation, she basically told Littlefinger, she was like, I don't want to see you ever again. I don't want any kind of help. I'm done with you. And that was that. But she had, when she realized they were not going to have the numbers for their battle and people were not going to support them like she thought they would, that's when she sent that letter to Littlefinger. I figured that's who she was writing to a couple of weeks ago.
I never think it was anything but that. But my point is, she absolutely would have told John. They would have talked about it. She would have told them. But the only reason that she wouldn't tell him or that you wouldn't show that was, like I said, to manufacture the big, you know, rousing. See, and I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
But that for me, though, just tarnishes it just a bit, because it's hard for me to reconcile that. Because Sansa would have to be diabolical to not tell her brother and then Jon Snow and just let Jon Snow just go into it. And how would you not mention that reinforcements might be days away if we just wait a little bit longer? You'd have to be completely insane, Sansa, to just be like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. Just so I could smirk later.
I don't
really?
Know.
Wow. See, that makes her almost crazier than Ramsay if that's what she was thinking.
She went a little crazy, though.
You know what? I just think, I won't say she's a little bit crazier than him. I just think she was basically covering her own ass, because if for whatever reason John failed or something else happened, she needed to know that she wasn't going to have to go back to Ramsay. So I don't know. I kind of,
And I thought this even towards the beginning, once they reunited and they started talking and they were kind of at odds about what needed to be done. Sansa was like, we need to take Winterfell. And Jon was like, I don't want to fight anymore. I kind of figured that there would be some conflict between them, because now, I mean, you have to think about it. Sansa has spent pretty much the whole season as other people's, toy. You know, they've played around with her. They've controlled her, this, that, and the other. Sansa's gotten to the point now that she's gotten away from Ramsay. She's like, I'm not going to let anybody else control me ever again. And I think that includes her brother. So I think, in a sense, she's trying to do what's best for the family, but at the same time, I think she's getting to the point where she's about to start doing for herself. She's now about to put herself as, of course, head of Winterfell, because now Rickon is gone. She doesn't know Bran is alive. Jon is not a true Stark, so he can't be Lord of Winterfell. So
if she marries
it's her
him.
Now. What?
If she marries him.
She can't marry her brother.
Well, first of all,
no, she cannot marry her brother.
Wait, I tuned out for a second until I heard something interesting just now. We're talking about Jon and Sansa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you were paying attention, you would know.
Yeah, I know. I just heard something about someone getting married. No, I'm not. But I heard something interesting, and it was that. And, well, the reason I perked up is because they're not siblings.
We're going by the show right now, because remember, some people who watch the show don't know what the theory is. In the
yeah, but there's clues in the shows, though. There's clue in the clues,
but
many clues.
Confirmed, Eric, and y'all
no, I understand.
Y'all
not,
were getting on me a couple.
No,
weeks
I understand.
Ago,
it's
a couple
not
episodes
confirmed.
Ago about giving
I understand
spoiler,
it's
so
not
hush.
Confirmed.
So
but,
you already revealed it, though.
No, but I understand it's not confirmed. But it's also not confirmed that they're brother and sister either on the show. It's really not. At best,
it's stepbrother.
Yeah, at best. But in the show already, there are mountains of evidence, even more in this most current season. There's just loads and loads of evidence that, first of all, they're not brother and sister. And anyway, in Westeros, cousins marry all the time, even in Stark history.
Yes, but we're talking about what they know, not what we know.
Okay.
We're talking about the show.
Fine.
Oh, Bran knows. Or, well.
Yeah, he probably. Well, he's screen, probably,
but,
yeah.
But, yeah.
He probably hasn't, because I think he said something about how the images don't come to him clear, so he's not exactly sure of what he's seeing, so he probably hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah. But it is interesting, though. I mean, it's an interesting idea. If you just know all that's going on, it would be interesting. That would be a very interesting marriage.
Well, when they were arguing today, it felt like they were a married couple yelling.
I was into that argument, by the way. I just the way it played out,
really?
I really liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the way they were, getting angry at each other.
It felt like an argument I've had before, and the frustration you get when someone's not listening to you. But they
I was
can only do no. It's like the frustration you get when both of them were saying two different things, and they were wanting two different things, and one was dealing with reality, and one was dealing with a phantom freaking army. She wasn't telling anybody she had.
So not fair, by the way.
What?
So it wasn't fair for Jon Snow.
No, I know it wasn't fair, but it was just like I feel like I've had this type of argument before. I'm pretty sure I have, but and I've always had my army, and it always has not been fair. Okay. no, I don't know. I really like that, but it kind of, I don't know. It felt like they were really angry at each other. It felt like a real argument. So
I liked that.
Yeah.
No, but okay. So I had said this on Twitter weeks ago or whenever, but it's so abundantly obvious what the theme has been for the entire season 6.
Thrilling heroics. Oh, girl power?
It's girl power. It's
Hello.
It's girl power to the extreme. And I'm pretty sure it's been every single episode. Every single episode
yes.
the entire season. And I'm just curious what people think about that in general. I mean, you guys right here, but just, I mean, just people at large. Because, you know, okay, I never predicted this. Not that I never predicted an entire year of girl power or anything like that. But I always suspected since long ago that there would be good times, so to speak, or like crowd-pleasing things would happen eventually in this show or in this.
I didn't think it would ever happen.
Oh no! There had to be some light at the end of the tunnel. I always thought I didn't know exactly how that was gonna, you know, turn out, but I always imagined, and you know, and I've always felt, even before Game of Thrones, you know, I always feel like those types of crowd pleasing moments and good times, they only taste that much sweeter when you go through a bunch of muck first.
Yeah.
That's just generally how I feel about a lot of things. Well, taking in stories and fiction and everything. So that always seemed right to me. And which is why I always, even when we were back in season 3 or season 4, when people would want to stop watching the show or just yell, no, I know many people felt this way. If you want to include yourself in that group, but no, I honestly, I know lots of other people. Because I know lots of people who quit in season 2 or season 3 and never came back. They're done.
They don't have an Eric, do they?
Well, yeah. Well, anyway. But I always felt bad, even when I didn't know how things were going to turn out exactly. I always felt bad when people would say, oh, it's too dark for me. I'm done. It's too much. There's no pleasure. I don't need to, you know, be watching whether physical or emotional torture every week. Like, I totally get it. But and something else that comes to mind, I remember last year when a certain thing happened last season on Game of Thrones, when there was a particular scene – in a particular episode last year, I remember the online blog, the Mary Sue. They
went
declared.
Off.
Yeah, we had that discussion on the show, and I remember I was one of the people who said, okay, even though I hated that happened to the character, I did say watch though. I felt like that was going to be the starting point of her coming from rock bottom all the way to the top. And that's what we've seen with her character.
Absolutely.
She went from being meek little mouse, brainwashed, I wanna marry the king and have babies in season 1. And she is like one of the badass characters on the show now. And she hasn't had to kill anybody. She hasn't had to get her hands dirty. She did this by no. Listen. I'm saying she hasn't had to like physically kill anybody.
Well.
She, you know, sitting there watching somebody die, that's different. Well. But my thing is she's been able to do this, but she did what Cersei's, you know, basically what Cersei has always said, she's learning to play the Game of Thrones. She's learning to watch and observe and see what's going on, and she's making her plays by that. She's gotten so smart now, and she's used that to stay alive, and now she's about to use that to put herself right back on, you know, right back on top for where she's supposed to be.
And check this out, because look, I'm not even just talking about Sansa. I just bring up that point because that's what caused the Mary Sue to call it quits. And I just think it's interesting because that, you know, they still have their moratorium on covering Game of Thrones, and I think it's a bit unfortunate that they aren't able to comment on everything that's been happening all year long.
Yeah, but because it's girl power now.
It's great, but right. it's girl power to an extreme level. Because man, really think about this whole entire year, but also think about it how it fits into the whole entire show so far. Because man, remember back when the show was new and a lot of people took it as a lot of times people joke that this show is almost like a male fantasy show because mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of boobs and this and that and gore and blah, 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 stuff that guys are, you know, into or whatever. But really think about it, the long arc of most all the characters in this show, and then think about what's happened in this whole season, not just with Sansa, but just think right now because all the characters who have been leading charges this entire season, they're all 100% females.
Right.
And all of them are redeeming themselves in some way, shape, or form. Every single one. Go through the whole list so far. Brienne, Arya,
Yara.
Yes, Yara. Over in
Even Missandei.
Her as well. But the all the ladies in King's Landing. I can't even think. Martell and Lena Dunham, and even Bran wouldn't be alive if not for his female companion. And just think how all the male characters throughout the series and in this season, especially coming up to this season, almost every male character in Game of Thrones has either been literally neutered or philosophically or emotionally neutered. Every single one. Even Tyrion has been, like, his influence in Meereen has been neutered now. Jon Snow has been neutered. Stannis has been killed. All the males have been maimed or neutered. Even, Jaime already lost his arm. Actually, only the Hound is the only male who's had a little bit of redemption so far in this year alone. But virtually every male character throughout all of Game of Thrones has been killed or maimed or their prestige lessened.
Like, they've been fighting hard. They've been fighting for all these seasons. Like, shit, after so long, women in war have to go to work. It happened with World War II.
It's so interesting.
It doesn't make them less, I believe. I mean, is that what you're trying to say there? No, lesser?
I'm not saying that at all.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying there's an interesting
shift of power.
It's also a very interesting.
I just didn't want you to go to the extreme of, well, you know, this is a show for girls and this is about girl power and this is a reflection of, I don't know. It felt like
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay.
What I'm saying
just
is
to make sure.
What I'm saying is with anything, this is what always interests me with anything, is that I love when whatever it is assumed to be one way and read a certain way. But then way down the road, everything gets flipped upside down.
Yeah.
I always love that. Because no one would have ever thunk this in the first 4 years of Game of Thrones, that the paradigm shift. And it's so, because I'm trying to think of another example, and I can't think of any. There are other examples of female characters or different characters like rising up, but I've never seen it on a scale of where it's 100%. All the females in this.
Would
just
you
in this.
Like it?
I like.
Does it feel contrived? Does it feel contrived? It kind of does.
It almost does. But also, it's not the end of the show. It's not the end of the year. And I also think, because we still have two more seasons. They say 13 episodes in total.
Two more seasons.
But only 13 episodes total.
Yeah. I think next season is only going to be seven episodes.
Yeah, it's like seven and six.
Yeah, because they gotta pay everybody so much money.
Yeah, well, I think
it's more back.
Effects too. But
what were the effects in this one? Because I know we have the giant.
What are you talking about? This full of effects. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I know there's the blood effects, but I mean, it's not like dragon.
This episode was loaded with CG. This was
which was?
Oh my god!
Whether the soldiers or
everything was CG except for the scenes at the end inside the castle at Winterfell.
Oh well, I mean, like the battlefield.
First of all that stuff with the dragons and the ships and
of course, I just said that before you started going on your rant. Of course, the dragon, of course, the
battle scenes. Then yes, there was tons of CG with the horses and the soldiers.
Oh, yes,
and
it had to be right.
I forget sometimes because it looks so realistic.
Yeah.
Hey, oh my God. Those were not real horses.
I know those weren't real horses.
They weren't puppets either.
I know they weren't puppets. Leave me alone. It looks real.
There was a ton of
CG. I felt like the horses were being harmed.
I think they were real horses. Not for all of the effects, but I did, again, in reading reading the article that I did about what they had to do for to set up this whole the battle and everything, they did talk about the fact that they did bring some horses in, and because they said it's hard to work with horses. You know, horses aren't just, they're not like the other animals where you can train them and kind of have them do certain things. Like, you have to be really careful working with them. And I think they did say something about that, but I do believe there are.
I'm sure they had real horses on set for when they had soldiers sitting on them
and riding them and look. Yeah, I know that, but I'm talking about the horse flapping
and all the charging at each other and spears everywhere.
Of course, horses were used during those. It's just like, but when I think CGI, I always expect it to be really obvious, like, you know, the bridge of the Enterprise or something like that. But I always forget that they can do subtle CG as well.
This episode was
seamless.
No, but I assure you that, I don't know, 80% of the runtime of this episode was green screen.
Yeah, I forget that is considered CG as well.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, because they use like digital mats to fill the scenes. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And this was one of the biggest ones, if not, well, probably the biggest all year, to be honest. But I think it's interesting. It is almost heavy-handed that it's 100% of the females, because as they've set up this year, none of the male characters at all would be where they are or alive, the ones who are still with us, if not for the females involved in all the storylines. And I'm okay with it because I find it interesting. This could be bad in some other work of fiction executed by someone else in some other way. Because, oh my God, I don't want to think about it right now, but I know there are some bad examples of this. What I would say, where the girl power is way too heavy-handed and it just seems like it just is what it is.
Like Xena?
Oh, well, I haven't really watched Xena, but I don't want to get too much into this, but like, have you guys finished the season of Orphan Black?
No.
Yes, I have.
Well, I don't want to go too, like.
No, I haven't only watched the one first episode. I haven't had time to watch any of the
other. I don't want to be too critical of that show, especially since I'm like sort of like a new fan. I watched like the whole show in 3 months from start to finish. But that show in its current season, that almost feels a bit too much like girl power and other types of power. That doesn't come off to me as feeling so real.
It's been girl power from the start, though.
Yes, but I'm talking about the last season and final episodes.
Because of the way that the storyline is starting to shape up. Yeah, I get what you're saying with that.
Okay, let's stop talking about it.
So that show to me is a bit even more like fan fulfillment, wish fulfillment. Game of Thrones, I feel like they put in the time, or George R. R. Martin put in the time to set all this stuff up ahead of time. He laid all the groundwork to where this is more believable. Like, you know, it's, you know.
But what was that thing that Kirkman said, Walking Dead Kirkman said, about he was disappointed in George R. R. Martin with them taking over his story or something like that? Does that pertain to this season and why it feels so different from the other season?
I can't remember that exact quote, but I'm assuming he's talking about the fact that first of all, obviously they're off script, so to speak. So that's probably part of it, since they've gone past the published books already. Maybe he's alluding to,
I think
George R. R. Martin used to be also one of the writers on the show. And he used to write some of the scripts for the show, but excuse me, it's not like they kicked George R. R. Martin off. I think he voluntarily stood down from working on the show just to focus on writing the books. So yeah, he no longer works on the show, but I think it was by his own choice, from what I understand. And I don't know. I'd have to look at the exact quote, because I would assume that's what
I'm looking it up now. I think I think it had something to do with the fact that even though there's no quote unquote source material for the show to go on now, George R.R. Martin is still making, he's still, I guess, demanding that certain things happen with certain characters. And I think that was the, I think that was something along the lines. He was saying that he feels like he shouldn't have that much say in what the show is doing. I'm not exactly sure. I believe
it felt like it was the opposite of that. He felt like Hollywood was using their heavy hand of Hollywooddom to.
I've never heard that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, involving George R. R. Martin. Okay. Like I briefly
read it, and I don't remember it. It was a while ago, and I just wondered if you guys knew what that.
No, I've always got the impression that they have his blessing, and yes, okay. there are wild differences already, but they're still kind of leading to the same place, even if the road's not exactly the same, because there's still a wide difference in many characters who are still alive and or not alive in the books, and different characters have taken on different storylines. A lot of the stuff, all the stuff that happened in the Riverlands this season would have happened already like 2 years ago, but is happening now. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's mixed up. But I mean, no, but I think it's also good though, because again, I always think it's fun, just like comparing Walking Dead, the show, and the comic. It's fun to see where they deviate, in my opinion.
So that one episode where Daenerys was in the tent or whatever
at Dothraki,
yeah, at the mm-hmm. yeah the Dothraki thing, and she set all of them on fire. That was a glorious night for me. I really enjoyed that one. And I'm curious to see, like, what would Eric think about? What was your...
That I've kind of alluded to that with what I've already said so far, which is I always knew it was going to happen. Like, there was no doubt in my mind. And the way they were laying it on heavy, I mean, with the Dothraki, like, being such dicks to her before that, it was so obvious. Oh, my gosh. Come on, guys. She's going to get her come up in so bad.
I mean, did you think it would turn out that way and then she'd get all of those soldiers? And
yes.
And like, okay.
Never a doubt. Mom. Yeah. Just like I had no doubts that Jon Snow would come back. No.
I didn't have a doubt, but I wanted him to stay dead because that felt like Game of Thrones to me.
Yeah, but.
Him staying dead because like, freaking what's his face stayed dead after first season, so I just thought this.
Yeah, but Sean Bean was a whole again. Sean Bean had to die, and other things had to happen so that these things would be so much sweeter later.
Well, I would have to say Game of Thrones is the best part of 2016.
Yeah, 2016.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah,
Anton. I can't pronounce his last name.
Yelchin.
Yeah, that's not cool at all.
That gutted me. But let's not start talking about that because I can't.
but like, yeah, because Game of Thrones, they're the only thing. They're the only people that's having good things.
I want to say no. Well, Deadpool is another good thing in 2016. Really, that can't be dismissed.
Yeah,
it's still currently the best comic book movie of the year, and Civil War was just alright. It was cool. It was good times.
Wow, I still haven't seen that.
It's good.
What?
It's good.
What? Oh, you know,
Hanako, I've been graduating from school.
You graduated 2 weeks ago. Get with it.
Yeah, but no,
still had to do another collection photo shoot and to find a job. I'm still busy as hell. Jesus. Anyway.
No, but Civil War is good. So those are some good things. And then there's been some other bad things, you know, PBS, etc. But, I saw Warcraft the other weekend when it came out, and that was just, it was weird because, the reason I bring it up is because...
Wait a minute, are we done talking about Game of Thrones?
Well, okay, I'm still talking about Game of Thrones. I'm still talking about Game of Thrones.
Okay.
That's why I'm bringing up Warcraft.
Just kind of got off of track and then...
No, because I'm bringing it back with Warcraft.
Yeah, I know, that's what I knew that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Warcraft, you know, I saw it and it is what it is. And actually it's scored by the same guy who scores Game of Thrones. But anyway, I kind of had a feeling about that, but What's weird to me is to compare something like Warcraft to Game of Thrones, because it's, I mean, wow, do these even fall under the same genre? It's hard to wrap your head around, like, because I don't know, maybe if Lord of the Rings was in the middle, then Game of Thrones, like, of the fantasy genre, then Game of Thrones goes towards the realism end of it, and then Warcraft goes towards the more zany, fanciful end of the fantasy spectrum. And I just, that was what it's, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think it's very interesting to compare the two, that how can these both technically be in the fantasy realm, but feel so different. It makes Game of Thrones seem almost like realer than life when you watch it next to something like Warcraft. And I'm not saying Warcraft is bad or this or that. I just think it's just weird how it's so different in tone. I like both, but it makes me look at Game of Thrones even in another interesting way when you bounce it off other fantasy things out there. Because everything's compared to Lord of the Rings, but it's not everything is Lord of the Rings, or Lord of the Rings isn't everything.
So how much did you yell, Hanako, when Bolton finally got eaten by the
So much. And I'm so glad I was here by myself, because I probably would have gotten on my daughter's nerves. My daughter just got home and she's downstairs watching it now. Mm. But that whole episode, like, I actually tried to live tweet this episode and I was doing good for a minute. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? I give up. I've learned that as well as I am at multitasking in real life, I cannot do it when Game of Thrones is on. I had to put my tablet down. I couldn't do it, because it's like I'm in the middle of yelling at the TV and I'm screaming and I'm jumping up and I'm trying to tweet and I'm trying to keep up with everything that's going through my mind. I was like, you know what? I just need to start recording myself and then going back and just blogging what I say. I scream, and my daughter's downstairs screaming now. This is
that
hilarious.
What I just heard?
Yes, that was. And I'm upstairs with my bedroom door closed. Oh, so that tells you how loud she was. But that was pretty much me. I'm really surprised that my neighbors don't call the cops on me when I'm watching either Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead, because those are the two shows that I scream about the loudest.
Oh, and Fear the Walking, you know, Dead, still on, isn't it?
No.
Oh, I stopped watching it.
What do you mean, Kat? Didn't you see the last episode of Fear?
No, I stopped watching.
Didn't we talk?
Oh my god! Oh
no! Wait, time out. Didn't we talk? We didn't talk about the last episode of Fear.
We talked about Fear.
We haven't. Yeah, we haven't talked about Fear since the third episode, mid-season. Yeah, it's been a while.
I stopped watching it at the third episode.
Oh my gosh, Kat! Really? The season finale was so good.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
I am not.
Hanako, is he telling the truth or no?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. It was. Yes. Oh my gosh, the show got so good.
Okay. The last few episodes really, really picked up the pace quite quickly. So yeah, it was really good.
Well, at the end of that mid season, oh my god, Fear of the Walking Dead beat the last half season of Walking Dead.
You
hair,
shut your
hair.
Mouth.
Now, no, I don't know
no,
if I would
no.
go that far.
Shut
no,
your mouth, Eric.
Really, Conoco, you feel that strongly about the second half of The Walking Dead, the last season? You think it's that second half? I understand. Yeah. I like the first half, but the second half, I wasn't
in
really.
In comparisons to Fear, yes. Yes,
I'm just,
definitely.
All right, okay.
Okay, yeah. That's enough of that. Back to Game of Thrones. Back to Game of Thrones.
But yeah, just the you know, I think the thing that really, because I really, when John was beating Ramsay to a pulp, I was saying, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. And then I was like, no, because I really want Sansa to have that honor or that satisfaction or whatever you want to call it. And then with the way that it played out, it was like poetic justice. I really felt like she was able to get some closure and do what needed to be done without getting her own hands dirty. You know what I'm saying? She was still able to keep some, I don't know, it's like in that moment for me, she reclaimed her dignity from him. especially with what she said to him, you know, he was still trying to get into her mind and, you know, basically play mind games. And she was basically like, you're not going to, my daughter is yelling. It's so hilarious. But anyway, you know, it's basically, I felt like when she said, you know, you won't be remembered, your name won't be remembered, your house won't be remembered. I was just like, I felt like Beyonce needed to be playing in the background at that point.
Oh my gosh, I really did.
I felt like that whole part was, even though we didn't see Sansa as much in this episode, I really felt like this episode was so powerful for her. She really came full circle by the end of this episode. And then that smirk as she
walked away, that smirk was so delightful.
It was very satisfying.
Come on, Eric,
for her
what about
to
the
know.
Smirk?
Yeah.
I already talked about the smirk and smirks.
Yeah. I felt very satisfied with the end of the episode and how it played out. Oh my God, my daughter. Y'all have to excuse my daughter if you hear her yelling and cursing in this podcast. She is going ham downstairs.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm not going to rain on any fangirls parade because I know I know that fangirls across the world are just going berserk on this episode. I get it. It's cool.
It's long overdue. It's really long overdue for, again, like we've been talking about, there's so much girl power in this season. Like, all the women, with the exception of Cersei, seem to be on the come up. And it's just like, it's so satisfying to watch it happen.
I think Cersei is about to come up. She was like, I choose violence.
She is, but I think it's going to all backfire. Because, that's one of the ones that people haven't noticed as much this season. As much as because the other characters are overshadowing her, but what's her first name? Martell, the young one.
Marjorie.
Yeah, Marjorie. You see, I mean, in a way, she had some smirks in her last episode, and in a way, to me, hers are more powerful. Her moments are more powerful, but they're much more.
Because I don't get. I mean, is she playing a game or is she really?
I think so.
Yeah, she's taking over King's Landing on the DL. That's what she's been doing. That's what I'm talking about this year.
I think that's what she's doing.
Yeah, she's like playing all of them. She's playing the Lannisters and the Sparrows. To me, if we want to talk about this girl power thing in the season as a whole, to me, her particular girl power story has been the most interesting of all the other ones, because to me, the Daenerys one, Yara. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Listen to me. I don't know any of the girls' names, but between Yara and Daenerys and Sansa and even Arya, all those seem a bit, even, oh my gosh. You know who else had the girl power moment with her neuter guy? Even Samwise, even his girl had,
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. It's like across the board. And even Sam's dad was put in check by his mom. And I mean, even in the they call them mummers, the actors doing the plays in Bravos, even the lady put the guy in the troop in his place. Like, it's even the little characters have been having girl power, bro. Even what's his name? Oh my gosh! In the House of Black and White,
Jaqen H'ghar.
Yeah, even Jaqen H'ghar. Like I was talking about male characters being neutered. Even he was neutered. You know,
but figured, you know what? I don't think he was neutered. I honestly think that was probably his whole purpose.
Well,
along.
I think, and I've taken this idea from other things I've seen or read that. I think in his mind, it was the God of many faces will decide how things will go. So if the God decides that Arya should go on and do her thing, then so be it. And if it turns out she's killed, oh, so be it. Yeah, and probably secretly he was on Arya's side, I guess, is the way it's implied.
I kind of feel like that might have been his whole maybe mission from the many-faced god, maybe to prepare her.
From a literary point of view, that is absolutely what his mission was. But as far as what is in the character's heart, that's a harder thing to figure out. But I'm just saying, I'm not saying that he didn't want her to succeed, but what I'm saying is his character was, see, that's the way it is. I guess what George R. R. Martin is doing is taking all the tropes that we know from fantasy and other literature and turning everything upside down. Because earlier in the show, like, Arya depended on this Jaqen, she needed the strong male to save her, and Harrenhal and all that other stuff. But now things have turned, now where he was the strong male character who had all this influence on her life and in her world. Now what I'm saying by him being neutered, now his influence is done. Because now she's her own person. Now she has her own will. Now she doesn't need to be told, I need to be the person with no name or this or this or that. You see, that's what I'm talking about. All the male characters have been neutered in one sense or another. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's interesting because it flips all the tropes upside down. But I was just saying, though, I think Marjorie's is one of the more interesting girl power moments, because most of all the other ones I named, they all seem kind of obvious. Or by obvious, I mean I pretty much knew or felt they were coming with the other major female characters. But Marjorie's is the more, like, she's doing the real crafty mind game, in her little world in King's Landing. So hers is one of the more interesting to me, because even again, her brother is just wasting away, and because again, he's completely neutered too, and that's pretty much all that's happened in the whole entire show. Yep. No, it is. I think it is. I think it's because it was worth it, because it was set up that way. Unlike when it's poorly executed in other shows and other things where it doesn't come off as believable to me. This is believable because all the seeds were planted long and long. The only girl power moment that I guess failed in this season, I guess, might be Osha.
When she got killed by Ramsay.
She's about the only female character that got the short end of the stick, so to speak. Oh, well. I mean, what can you do?
I don't know. I seriously thought that was so spectacular that was like the season finale. But I forget that they do like the big show prior to the season finale.
My only worry is, though, because we have... Okay, after this, there's one more episode this year, and then supposedly 13 more episodes after that, and then that's it. 13 and done. My worry is, though, before we get to the end of those 13, many, if not most of our characters are going to have to go through more hard times, I think. Whoever's still alive at the end of season 6, I would still expect half of them to die in the next 13 episodes. So we're not out of the weeds yet. So... I mean, everyone enjoy most of the good times this year, because there still has to be more dire bad before we get to a big...
You're not positive at all.
I'm just saying, that's how it happens. You can't have 13 episodes of redemption in a row.
Well, who do you think is going to bite it? I mean, because that's... Oh, I mean, we've already...
Anyone. It could be anyone.
Cersei? Cersei's going to bite it?
She's very for death. Oh, she's extremely marked.
Yes. Look, shall we start taking bets now? Should we wait until after next week's episode? Because I'm telling you, Tommen's gonna die. Cersei's gonna die.
Another hell, by the way.
I'm kind of on the fence about Jaime. I don't know if he's gonna die yet. But I know for sure, yeah, Tommen and Cersei. I feel like they have a coming.
The interesting question is, who do you think will live out till the end of the show?
Tyrion.
I think he might, Tyrion, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's one of the safe bets.
Tyrion, Daenerys.
No, wait, slow down, slow your roll. Because I think Daenerys will probably survive, but I don't think she's nearly as safe as Tyrion in the grand scheme of things. Because I think even Jon Snow could die. I could see
he already died.
Right, so he's off the table.
I could see him die again. At the end,
I wish y'all could hear my daughter. Oh my god,
we kind of do.
Oh my god, she does this.
I don't know. I don't really don't think anyone is safe except maybe Tyrion, maybe Varys, maybe Sansa. Like I could see her living to the end, but. I could even see Arya dying.
Well, I mean, she should.
Oh, Bran is probably safe too, I think.
So let's talk about last week's Arya antics, because her, like, she got stabbed more than Catelyn got stabbed at the Red Wedding.
And it was much talked about on the internet last week.
I know. Last week it was just ridiculous because it's like she got stabbed one night.
Actually, it was the week before last.
Whatever. She got stabbed. She fell into, like, a lake. She walked, and she went to, like, the freaking the playhouse. Then she drank some soup. She talked, cracked some jokes. Chick came for her again. She fell down some stairs, ran a bunch, had a sword fight, and still living. And then she went, after all of that, to talk more shit to Jabbar.
But you know what? I think maybe Arya's storyline probably took place over a longer period of time than
that's almost been
because
like...
because even when she jumped out the window when the waif killed Lady Crane, she jumped out the window and she immediately started running. And if you'll notice, her clothes were clean. She didn't have you know, there were no blood stains on the clothes, and she was moving fairly okay. So we have to assume at that point that she was somewhat healing, you know, and as Lady Crane said, she was used to, patching people up. So I'm thinking it may have been a week, maybe a couple of weeks, but
she
enough.
Did a better
but enough...
job of creating that for us.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus I've seen elsewhere. That's the way everyone seems to explain it, is that the show throughout has always played really fast and loose with time. And a lot of times, days, even weeks go by, you just don't even know it because of the way things...
Right.
Because I was almost jumping out of my seat whatever week that was, maybe it was last week, when Brienne and Podrick just showed up in the Riverlands. And
that was last week.
You know how far, in my mind, it is from the north... and the wall all the way to the Riverlands. It's insanity. And they just went there almost like within a week. I mean, as far as the show, episodes.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It's incredible. And I just about jumped out of my... I mean, I just drove to the far west Texas and back the other day, and that was murder. And I was car. And they just... You have to understand, Westeros is almost as large as like the continent of South America. So it's really big, and they're on horses. Like, oh my gosh! But hey, whatevs. What?
It just cracked me up.
What? It was crazy. Well, see, I know a lot of people watch the show and are not that vested in the geography of Westeros and Essos, but I've always been obsessed with it. Just like when I used to watch Lord of the Rings, I always had to have the map of Middle Earth like beside me when I'd read the book.
I really want the map of Westeros on my wall somewhere.
The only thing, I think is like they never talk about the southern continent on the show, because everyone knows Westeros and everyone knows Essos, but there's another one that's a weird variation of South.
Maybe they're just doing their own thing, not trying to get involved in all this.
I know they don't really have anything important to do with the story. I'm just saying they don't ever at least just mention that it exists. Like in the last episode when Arya was talking about, there's Essos, and she's like, but how do we know that that's it? But I was like, well, there's Sussos or whatever it's called, which in the books is like, it's like basically the African continent. It doesn't play a major role in the story, but it does exist. It is.
Maybe they just at this point, there's no sense in introducing anything else, because if you think about it, this was going to be my next point of talking. We've seen the one scene this season in Dorne, and that's it. And it's like, I remember before season 5 started, there was so much hype. So many people were so excited about Dorne finally being introduced into the storyline. And really, we haven't had much from them. It's like, we had a little bit last season, and then this season, they killed the prince, they killed the king, and that's pretty much it. It's like, do we even care what's going on in Dorne now?
We don't, and apparently the writers or the producers didn't care. And if anything, I would say that's the one, I would say, a disappointment of sorts of the show is that they kind of like, oh, we'll talk about Dorne for a second. Nah, we're good.
Yeah. Because to me, the only interesting thing about Dorne really was Prince Oberyn. So it's like, nah, okay, whatever. For me, there's so many more interesting storylines going on with the rest of what we already have on screen. It's like, I don't want to get invested in anything else. At this point, I don't care if Cersei ever gets her revenge for them killing Marcella. I really don't care.
But, and another thing that kind of took things away a little bit for me in this episode is because I do follow certain vlogs and things that talk about Game of Thrones, and like all these predictions I heard elsewhere, like they all came out exactly true. Just like Ramsay getting killed by his own hounds. Like I heard that a lot being bandied about, that people were just guessing that was going to happen. And that is what happened. I even heard, you know, everyone said, from the things I follow Yara and Theon, when they hightailed out of the Iron Islands, mm-hmm. people were saying, "Oh, they're gonna go straight to Daenerys and add their ships to her."
How far was that? Because I feel like they got to her really fast.
Also very far. Very far, for sure. But I mean, just mean like these things were all called ahead of time. And. And what's his name? Littlefinger is just going to come in and save the day, probably, and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. Because, again, that's the thing. If you look at how George R. R. Martin sets things up, like, that's how you knew Jon Snow was going to come back. Because that's how you know who Jon Snow's parents are. Because there's all the signposts, you know. I don't know if I brought it up in this podcast recently, but... about 3 months ago or so, I rewatched the first 2 or 3 episodes of season 1 of Game of Thrones.
I was thinking about doing that.
Oh, it's actually interesting. Yeah. It's interesting because then you will see that now that you're, you know, deep into the show already, you will see all these phrases and all these Easter eggs that they planted in the first episodes that when you watched it, you had no idea that meant anything.
Yeah,
exactly. Because they don't mean anything. But when you've seen the whole show, it's almost like they're foreshadowing everything, but stuff that's not going to happen for years. It's crazy. When you hear conversations between Robert Baratheon and Ned Stark, and it's almost screaming at you about about Jon's parentage. Like when you already know it, it's just like, duh, it's all right there. But yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, you suspect whoever's knife it was when they tried to kill Bran. You can just see into all the plots. You can tell, like, oh, you know, no, this is a trick. So obvious this is a trick. Can't you see the way this and that? No, it's good though.
No, I'm laughing at my daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, but I think it's really worth watching back because you'll see that, again, everything was signposted. Everything was set up. I remember I even knew in season 1 that Tyrion would kill his father because he has this one line in season 1 where he's kind of mad and he doesn't say it, but it just seems so obvious. Like, I just want to kill you. And like, you know, you just you wait. And I thought that back then in season 1, like, he's going to kill his dad, isn't he? And then, yeah, 2 years later, what do you know? So, yeah. Well, and they do the same thing, like currently in The Walking Dead. They are throughout, like, because the people writing the show have already read ahead. They do the same thing, like they put little Easter eggs and things that aren't going to mean anything to you until way later.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good welcome back to Sci-Fi Party Line. We have some episodes that are kind of lost that were supposed to be put out. They'll get put out later. They're going to be the lost episodes of Sci-Fi Party Line, but we'll get them up. And once Kat finds a job, you know, we'll be more regular. Give us a call at 773-336-2686, or you can go to our website at scifipartyline.com and leave us a message. We are on Twitter and Facebook and, of course, Google Plus, and you can just Google Sci-Fi Party Line, and we're on those. And thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time.
End of line.